Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, October the 8th. Well, congratulations to the Yankees. They've made it out of the first round. The other three teams are still in it, or the other three series are still in it. But the Yankees have a seat in the league championship series that I think starts on Saturday in Houston. If the Astros win in New York, if Tampa Bay wins, I think it's going to be Houston. So the Yankees and the Astros look to be playing each other this weekend. That should be a great series. Over in the National League, they've got a couple of series going down to Game 5, or the deciding game tomorrow. Washington and St. Louis. Well, Washington and the Dodgers in one of them, and then St. Louis and Atlanta in the other. I'm not really a fan of either one of those four teams. I just want to see good baseball, and we'll see what happens. But I think those are going to be very good games in the National League, in Game 5 in the National League. Well, today we're going to talk about, you may have heard in the news today that President Trump has basically, well, the State Department has basically said that an ambassador who the Democrats want to going to talk to is not going to go to Congress. So we'll talk a little bit about that, because I think the message of the Trump administration here, correct in my opinion, is no impeachment vote. We're not going to send people to testify. And that's the correct message, in my opinion. That's the correct message. Force the Democrats to take a vote on this. I have a few more thoughts on China and the NBA, which is, I think, a really, really unfortunate situation that the NBA has put itself in. But let me begin with a story that I saw here recently. There is going to be at least one abortion case, going to the Supreme Court, and it could be a big decision in 2020. You know, these decisions always come out in June. So June in 2020, right before the conventions and in that particular presidential election, you may have a very important abortion decision from the Supreme Court. Now, this one it's not really about Roe v. Wade. It's not about denying women or overturning Roe v. Wade. That's not what this one is. This one is similar to something that happened in Texas a few years ago when our legislature passed a law basically saying that clinics had to be so close to the hospitals and so on, and doctors in these abortion clinics needed to have admission or admitting permits or whatever in hospitals. And that's what this one's all about. I mean, the people of Louisiana are saying, look, if you're going to have an abortion in this particular clinic, you know, you have to be near a hospital, have access to a hospital, whatever. And I think it makes a lot of sense to me. It made sense to me when it was done in Texas, because after all, an abortion, and if, you know, I'm not going to tell you what happens in an abortion, it's pretty graphic, but if you want to see what an abortion clinic looks like and what it's like for a young woman in one of these abortion clinics, just check out that movie, Unplanned. I think that movie described it fairly well, what happens in an abortion. And sometimes there is a risk to the young woman's life, because after all, you're doing a medical operation. So I don't know how the Supreme Court is going to decide on this, but I hope that the Supreme Court says, look, let the states decide, or at least micromanage some of these decisions. If the people of Louisiana want this, let them have it. You don't have to live in Louisiana if you don't like it. And at the same time, they're not outlawing abortion. In other words, they're still leaving that window for a woman to get an abortion, but they are at least allowing the people of Louisiana to manage how some of these clinics are going to be run. I think it's a perfectly legitimate situation or opinion that the court would reach in basically saying, hey, we're not closing the window to abortion, but we do believe that states have, for reasons of safety or whatever, through their legislatures, they should have the opportunity to restrict abortion or at least enforce these issues related to health care and so on. I think the Supreme Court will probably, on a 5-4 decision, as always seems to happen with these things, will probably allow Louisiana to implement this. And if that happens, well, that means that the one that we had here in Texas will be revived, and then what happens after that, I don't know. Again, I have always felt that Roe v. Wade or the right to an abortion should have never been done by a Supreme Court opinion. It should have been done state by state and let every state decide what it wants to do. And if the state of whatever wants to have abortion at any point, late term or whatever, let them have it. But it should be on a state-by-state basis. And I believe that that is the right thing to do. And I'm hoping that the Supreme Court will allow Louisiana to implement this program. And I think that that will then grow in other states as well. So we'll see. We're going to know by June 2020 how all of this goes down. There may be other cases, too. There may be other cases that go to the Supreme Court. The one, for example, in many states where they're saying that if you have a heartbeat, you cannot have an abortion. Well, that's, I think, a pretty, to me at least, morally, that is a very strong position by the state legislatures. And we'll see how that goes. But at least next year, the Supreme Court is going to be dealing with the question of abortion clinics, the actual clinics themselves, not abortion as a practice, but how these abortion clinics are operated. So I think it's a good plan, and I hope the Supreme Court goes along with it. I think that they will. I'm not forecasting, but I think that they will. Of course, no matter how they decide, it's going to have very serious political reaction to it. Let's talk a little bit about China. China, the NBA has just completely fumbled this thing with China. Basically, if you're not familiar with the story, the general manager of the Houston Rockets made a remark that the government of China interpreted as supporting the people in Hong Kong, the protesters. So the government of China, like every good dictatorship, reacted to this pretty strongly. They came down very hard on the NBA. They're even threatening to cancel television audience or games on television. I was reading that the business, the TV business in China for the NBA, it's like $1 billion. So it's a huge market for them. You know, I don't know if that's bigger than the United States TV market, but it would be a pretty good second, to say the least. That's a lot of money that the NBA is making in China because of the televised game. So anyway, so the government of China has reacted very strongly. I think the NBA, as I said before, handled this thing so poorly. First of all, they said, well, you know, we're just a basketball league. You know, we don't do politics. Well, give me a break. Give me a break. The NBA has been doing politics for the last few years. I mean, whether it's, the bathroom issue in North Carolina or, you know, the gun control thing or hands up, don't shoot. I mean, they've been all over the political world over the last few years. Now, most of the time on the left, but, you know, they've been very political, to say the least. And for the NBA now to pretend that, you know, we just play basketball, we don't play politics, I think it's pretty, pretty stupid. Look, what we have here is China, and China does not respect human rights. They don't have any freedom like we have. And I think what is really behind the Chinese reaction, and I have a post coming out about this on Wednesday morning, I think what is really behind the reaction is that the Chinese are scared to death that people in other parts of China are going to see what's happening in Hong Kong, and they're going to start doing their own marches. And I think if that happens, that could become a real problem. Right now, there's... You know, we just don't hear about it because it's a dictatorship and it's far away and, you know, most of us have our own things to follow. But there's a lot of discontent in China, political discontent, a lot of problems in China. And I think the government, the dictatorship, is being super, super cautious here to make sure that nobody gets the idea of going out and marching for freedom in Shanghai or whatever the city is. And I think that's what's behind all of this. But the NBA should stand for freedom. And I'm disappointed that the NBA did not. I think that's very, very sad that the NBA, when it had a chance to do it, decided not to do it. You know, we've told you many times on our show about our friend Carlos Guedes. Well, Carlos is all over town. He plays in a lot of different places. And I'm going to give you a little bit of his music here as we take a little break. And then I want you to click on his... on the link on the radio and find out where he's playing around town. So here's a little bit of Carlos for you while we take a little break. the music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. Make sure you click that link and find out where he's playing around town. Also, if you want to get more information on his music, you can do that as well. It's absolutely great music that he's written and recorded over the years. Something very interesting happening with this impeachment situation. At the moment, there is no formal impeachment. There has not been a formal vote by the House of Representatives on impeachment. So what we have really is an investigation going on in the Intelligence Committee. Why it's going on there, I don't know, because it's the Judiciary Committee is the one where impeachment needs to be happening. For whatever reason, the Democrats are doing something over in the Intelligence Committee, and they're trying to drag in some people into the committee so that they can, ask him a few questions. The Trump administration has very correctly said, we're not going to send people there unless we have a formal impeachment. I think he's calling their bluff. He's doing exactly right. Let's call their bluff. If they want to do an impeachment, let's do an impeachment. Let's have a trial. If that's what they want, let's do it. Let's have a trial and let both sides present their case. I don't think the Democrats want to go there, because I don't think the Democrats are very comfortable with the evidence that they have. If they were really comfortable with the evidence, I'm sure they would have already had a caucus meeting and said, look, here's the evidence, folks. There's an impeachable offense here. So they don't have it. And they're kind of looking for one, but they're not going to get it the way they're getting it. And I just don't think most people care about it. John Zogby, a pollster, recently said that he went to the Midwest to do one of his many polls and studies of public opinion. And he found out that most people don't care about impeachment. I don't think they do, at least not the way it's being conducted at the moment. Impeachment is a pretty serious thing, but you got to do it right. You got to do it seriously, as was done against President Nixon and against President Clinton. A couple of things from on this day in history. In 1956, you know, talking about baseball, in 1956, Don Larsen pitched the one and only perfect game in World Series history, or for that matter, postseason history. He was a very unlikely person to throw a perfect game, because this is a man who only won 81 games in his whole career. But one afternoon there in New York, he was the talk of the world when he threw that perfect game. Don Larsen, I think he's still living, if my memory is correct. He's amazing, the story of the perfect game against the Brooklyn Dodgers on this day in 1956. 1961, on this day, the Dick Van Dyke Show went on the air. That's one of the great, great shows. It was only on the air, I guess, 3 or 4 years, but I'm sure all of us have seen the reruns. It's just a great show, the character mix. I mean, it's just a fantastic show. And whenever I have a chance to watch an episode, I do. It's just great. I mean, the characters are great in that show. And on this day in 1970, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was given the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, Solzhenitsyn, of course, wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago, which was a book about the Soviet political concentration camps. And the book, the award was given, of course, out of the Soviet Union. He was not allowed to leave the country to pick up the award. Eventually, in 1974, he did leave the country. He lived in the United States. I think he lived in other places. But I've always admired this man, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Here's a guy who was not afraid of writing in a country where writing books like this could end up costing your life. So, writing books like this in the old Soviet Union usually meant that you went to jail, and the jail was not very nice, as Solzhenitsyn himself wrote about. So we remember the late Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He passed away in 2008, I think at age 89. So great man, a good candidate for the Nobel Peace, to say the least. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.